chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. So the Lord is speaking with Abram, who, of course, was later named Abraham. And here we go. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
The second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for having me join you in fellowship this morning. It's a great pleasure and a privilege to visit and also share a little bit about the chaplaincy work at Long Bay. And I'd like to personally thank you for your ongoing prayerful support for the ministry there. It's been very valuable, helpful, and it's great to know that there are others, you know, who are praying behind the scenes. I forgot to mention that my wife and children are unable to be here today with me because our church, Anchor Church, are actually meeting for the very first time since the pandemic started today. And so it's a special day for us, and they send their apologies. Let me start off by praying. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that when we open it up, we can read of individuals there whom you have taken and you have changed and is a testimony to your grace. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll teach us what it is you want us to know and that you'll encourage us with your word so that when we leave at the end of this morning, we will continue to walk in the joy of the Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the challenging things about being a prison chaplain is that from time to time, not always, but occasionally, you come across an inmate where you're aware of their offences, or a high-profile inmate who's been in the media the last couple of days or weeks or months. And as a chaplain, you have to put aside whatever it is you might know and meet that person where they're at in life. Minister to them, share with them the good news of Jesus, calling them to repentance and faith and encouraging them to pursue the godly life. And I'm sure you'll appreciate it when I say it's actually easier said than done. I found since working as a chaplain in prison, the gospel is not just something that I ought to know, but it has to be something that I actually believe in. that no matter what anyone has done or has been convicted of, but God's word, the good news of his son Jesus, is able to change people. This morning, we're looking at the story about a tax collector. And the thing about this guy was that his reputation always preceded him wherever he went. He was hated, disliked, and despised. No one trusted him. No one had a good word to say about him. This story is also about a group of people and what they saw compared to what Jesus saw when it came to this tax collector. Finally, in addition, it's a story about what the tax collector saw compared to what the people saw when it came to Jesus. So the hope is that what these people saw in this story will help us think more about what we ought to see when we look at Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about what Jesus looked like, what he wore, but what I'm specifically talking about here is his message, his mission. So let me begin by asking the question, when you look at Jesus, what do you see? And so the big idea, the title of the talk today is, who saw who? Who saw who? My first point is, number one, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jericho was a city about 5 hours' walk out of Jerusalem. People traveling between Jericho and Jerusalem would usually stop there to rest because it had palm trees that provided shade, and it had deep springs which provided water. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, so it's no surprise that he too rests there as well. And then we're told in verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. The city of Jericho was a center of trade, business, and commerce. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was very wealthy. Wherever there was money to be made, Zacchaeus was there. That's why it's no surprise that we find him here in Jericho. Tax collectors collected taxes from the Jewish people for the Roman Empire. Zacchaeus wasn't your ordinary tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector, which meant he had other tax collectors working under him. He was dishonest, cunning, conniving in what he did. That's how he became wealthy. The only thing he was interested in and wanted to do was make a ton of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to make money, but it's how this bloke went about doing it. And he was notorious for it. More on that later. Verse 3 to 4 says, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Notice that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus must have been thinking, who is this Jesus? Why is everyone talking about him? And you know what I like about this guy, Zacchaeus? He was curious about Jesus. Curious enough to do something about it. He doesn't know who Jesus is, but he wants to find out. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but the problem was he was too short. In fact, Zacchaeus was so short that when he stood at the very back, whether it was 5 deep, 10 deep, he couldn't see Jesus. Well, Zacchaeus wasn't going to allow his shortness to stop him from seeing Jesus. And what you need to remember is that Zacchaeus may have been short, but just as he was determined to make a lot of money, he was determined to see Jesus. There's something about this guy, his sheer determination, his tenacity, his determination in wanting to see Jesus. Another thing you should know is that in Jewish culture, it's unacceptable for an adult man to climb a tree in public. To do so would be considered an undignified thing to do. Now, don't ask me why, it's just the way it was back then. As it is with many other cultures, there are certain things that you just don't do. From the culture where I come from, my parents come from the small island of Tonga, you just don't walk down the street, you know, like without a shirt. Men, that is. The only place that you are without a shirt is either at the beach or at home. I mean, in Australia, you know, like, you know, you could be in budgie smugglers, you know, mowing your lawn. It's not a problem with that. Not in Tonga. Here, with the Jewish people, adult men just don't climb trees. Now, if you were a culturally conservative Jew back then, you would never think that Zacchaeus would ever dare climb a tree. But Zacchaeus does. He doesn't care about dignity. He doesn't care about what other people think. All Zacchaeus wants to do is see this guy named Jesus. Zacchaeus was short, but that wasn't going to stop him. He knew what was culturally acceptable and unacceptable, but he too didn't care. Let me ask, what stops us from time to time from wanting to get to know Jesus? For Zacchaeus, he was a height disadvantage, his culture. However, these things didn't stop him. What obstacles in our lives often stop us from getting to know Jesus? Because whatever those obstacles may be, the good news is Jesus doesn't have that same problem when it comes to him getting to know us. This leads me to my second point, number two, Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Verse 5 to 6 says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now you might think, it's not a big deal. Jesus gets to that spot. He sees a fully grown man hanging out of a tree, calls him down, and then spends the rest of the day with him. But actually, something huge is happening here. You see, this is not a story about two people who meet by coincidence. This is not a story about Zacchaeus looking for Jesus. It's actually a story about Jesus looking for Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus thought that he was the one who was looking for Jesus. But it's actually the other way around. How do we know this? He already knew his name. Jesus already knew Zacchaeus' name. In the first part of verse 5, Jesus didn't stop, look up and ask him for his name. No, he didn't. When Jesus saw Zacchaeus straight away, he knew his name and he knew who he was. Does that remind you of another person that Jesus meets in the Gospels? I think it was Nathanael, wasn't it? Now, some might argue that someone might have told Jesus about this Zacchaeus guy. Or Zacchaeus' reputation was so well known that even Jesus knew. But no, Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. That's how we know that Jesus was on the lookout for Zacchaeus. Again, how can we be sure that Jesus was the one looking for Zacchaeus? Another reason is that Jesus was committed to staying at Zacchaeus' place. In the second part of verse 5, Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, I'd like to stay at your place today. No, he didn't. In fact, he said, and it's a very rare occasion that he uses these exact words, this phrase, in the whole Gospel of Luke. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, I must stay at your place today. You see, when Jesus arrived in Jericho, he wasn't just stopping over for a rest, but he came looking for Zacchaeus because in the end, Jesus knew that he alone, not money, not wealth, not a thriving legal business, no one or nothing else could give Zacchaeus the kind of rest that only Jesus can. That's why it's a must for Jesus to spend time with Zacchaeus that day at his place. And Zacchaeus' response in verse 6, he came down the tree and welcomed Jesus, a joyful response to a warm invitation. Jesus' divine determination to see Zacchaeus is what enables Zacchaeus to finally see Jesus. If Jesus wasn't determined in pursuing Zacchaeus, then Zacchaeus wouldn't have met Jesus. You see, this story is not about Zacchaeus and what he does. It's a story about what Jesus is doing. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is that because he is so determined in pursuing those he loves, it is comforting to know these two things. Number one, Jesus never gives up until he gets who he wants. And for those of you who are now followers of Jesus, we can all testify to that. We may have run, we may have gone far, but it doesn't matter where we have gone. He came after us. He pursued us, and he finally got us. And the other comforting truth in all of this is that Jesus never makes a mistake. That day when you are tempted to doubt, when you are tempted to walk away, when you are tempted to give up, just remember that Jesus chose you, and he never makes a mistake. Zacchaeus ran ahead to climb a tree, but Jesus, in his grace, outran Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had no idea that Jesus was already one step ahead of him the whole way. This brings us to the third and the last point of the talk, number three, the crowd see. First, it was what Zacchaeus saw. Second, it was what Jesus sees. And now, number three, what does the crowd see? Verse 7 says this, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. We're now told that the people also saw what happened. However, what they see causes them to mutter, in this particular translation, or grumble. And the reason why the people grumbled was because they were shocked that Jesus had gone to be the guest of a sinner like Zacchaeus. As we heard earlier, tax collectors not only worked for the Roman foreign occupying empire, but tax collectors supported a group of people who bullied Jewish families, robbed Jewish businesses, intimidated Jewish men, violated Jewish women. And the worst part about it was that tax collectors like Zacchaeus was actually Jewish himself. And Jews considered tax collectors like him traitors. The Jews could not understand why on earth someone like Jesus, a wise teacher, a powerful healer, a holy man, would spend a day with Zacchaeus at Zacchaeus' house. The people thought that Zacchaeus' association with the Romans would be the biggest obstacle that would prevent Jesus from seeing Zacchaeus. It's really interesting, you know, even in a place like jail, they have a moral code. You know, certain inmates would say, why would you go to what they call the boneyard to those inmates and spend time with them because of the particular nature of offences that they've committed? The people thought that Zacchaeus' association with the Romans would make him an unacceptable person to welcome Jesus into his home. But Jesus, on the other hand, sees the situation differently. In verse 9 to 10, he says, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You see, the people got it right when it came to Zacchaeus, but they got it wrong when it came to Jesus. Yes, they were right. Zacchaeus was a rotten sinner. But they got it wrong. They failed to see Jesus as the Savior of sinners. The people couldn't see that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, like Zacchaeus. They also couldn't see that what made Zacchaeus lost is what made them lost is what makes us lost. Sin. Our natural rebellious desire to live life our own way, on our own terms, apart from God. Sin, what separates us from God. Sin, what causes us to be lost. Jesus is the one who comes to seek and save lost sinners like Zacchaeus, like us, by bringing us back home into a loving relationship with God the Father. What is this story about? It is this. There is nothing you can do in your life that will make God love you less. There is nothing more that you can do in your life that will make him love you any more. It's only by hearing, repenting, and believing in who Jesus says he is and what he has come to do that we can be forgiven and found. Unlike the people, Zacchaeus got it right when he saw Jesus, because he says in verse 8, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." What happens up until this part of the story is that repentance leads to reconciliation, which finishes with rejoice. When Zacchaeus met Jesus on the road, well, in Jericho, Zacchaeus was a bad man. But when he came face to face with Jesus, Savior of all sinners, he repented and recognized that Jesus was the one who had become the Savior, the one who has sought him out, the one who has rescued him from his sins and God's judgment. For Zacchaeus, Jesus became so much more beautiful and valuable and far more worthier than money, than wealth, than success, than power could ever give. It's amazing. Jesus affected Zacchaeus so much that he went from being a taker to a giver. Jesus assured Zacchaeus that he was now saved and a part of God's family. He had gone from being on the outside to being on the inside, to being someone who was excluded from, you know, your everyday society amongst the Jewish people, to someone who was a true son of Abraham. The people who grumbled didn't get it, but by God's grace, Zacchaeus did. Religious people believe that God will love you if you change. The Bible says it's God's love that changes you over time. For the last time, if you believe, as the Bible says, that Jesus has come to seek and save the lost, if you recognize that you're lost by being separated from God because of your own sins, if you acknowledge that the only way to be restored into a loving relationship with God is through repentance and faith in Jesus, then like Zacchaeus, you have forgiveness and hope. You know, the name Zacchaeus actually means in the original language, pure, clean. Could you imagine what it would have been like for his parents? First, they give their son this name that means pure, clean. But then they watch him grow and live a life that is a total contrast to what it means to be pure and clean, ethically, morally, spiritually. And it's not until Jesus shows up and seeks him out and saves him and declares him to be a true son of Abraham that Zacchaeus was finally cleansed. Because of so much sin in his life that made him unclean and unacceptable, Jesus, his blood, is the very thing that cleanses his sins. Now, I have no idea where things are at in your life, but I know what God's done for me in my life. And it's amazing and quite humbling, in fact, to know that God has made me clean too in Jesus. To think of all the things that I've ever thought, said, done, left undone. And yet, he loves me because Jesus' blood has washed my sins away. That is the story of Zacchaeus. Someone who is a sinner, and yet Jesus had come, sought after him, found him, saved him, forgave him, and radically changed his life forever. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for the story of Zacchaeus, which is a story about your son Jesus and what he's able to do. And I pray that this truth that we have heard from your word would encourage us, Lord, to be a people who are grateful, thankful, and give you the due honour and praise to your name for what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for hope in you alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.